670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, the show has aged like 40 years with Austin Bechtold back there on the ones and twos.
This is Ray's music.
Yeah, for you guys.
Everybody loves Raymond.
We're playing J. Pep.
That's true.
That brought it back down a little bit.
Oh, man. I served the ball over the net, and Bechtold just bang! Boom. Little backhand back the other way. That music does mean that we are joined by the great Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, good morning to you. How you doing this fine morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good.
Ray, your biggest takeaway from the old Mike Tomlin presser yesterday?
You know, probably just that he gave the old dreaded vote of confidence to Broderick Jones. I just wonder how many weeks they're going to give him to get this straightened out. You know, it wasn't good. It's more the same that we've been watching for the last 2 years. I suppose, guys, that, you know, it's his first game at left tackle, his first start at left tackle. Maybe we should give him a little bit of time, but at the same time, that's his natural position. You know, we were told he was going to be more comfortable there, and he looked anything but comfortable against Will McDonald and the Jets.
Ray, the Steelers clearly have to prepare for Broderick Jones's issues on Sunday against the Seahawks. How do you think they go about doing that? How does that look?
Well, Darnell Washington played 26 snaps against the Jets, but, you know, you'd be taking a guy out of a pattern. So, you know, you would be sacrificing, you know, I think some potential yards and points if you keep Washington in. And they wouldn't have to do it every passing play, but, you know, I think you either have to use Washington to help or you have to have a running back to chip. And, you know, like I said, that does affect other facets of your offense. So I really like what I saw from Arthur Smith in week one. I thought his personnel packages were really good. His play calling was really good. You hate to, you know, you hate to change that just because of one guy, but Doran, I mean, you watched it. You know, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers killed back there if you put him on an island. So I don't know what the solution is.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Did they find a solution in wide receiver two week one, Ray?
Yeah, seems like it. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night, Adam. I was critical of Matt Canada when they would, like, throw these back shoulder passes to Calvin Austin a couple years ago. But think of the two plays, the two chunk plays, really, that the Steelers got. Aaron Rodgers back shoulder throws to Calvin Austin. One of them a really nice ball down inside the 10. And the other one should have been a pass interference penalty. And, you know, it wasn't called. So I guess that wasn't a chunk play, but it should have been. So they're using him in different ways. I like that. They actually are treating him as like a legit number two. They're not just throwing him in the slot and telling him to run certain patterns. He's running the entire route tree, and I think that's good. And Aaron, one thing about Aaron, you know, he voiced a lot of confidence in Austin from the very beginning, from that time they spent in Malibu, and then it continued throughout training camp. So he's got Aaron in his corner. He's doing a good job, and we'll see if he can keep it up.
Ray, clearly the run game was incoherent. There was no run game. They couldn't get the run started. Yeah. Do you feel like that they're going to try to force the run this coming Sunday against the Seahawks with Jaylen Warren?
I mean, I wouldn't. You scored 34 points against the Jets. I would do what's working. I would not try to force the run. They're a young group. It didn't work against the Jets. It really didn't work last season except for, you know, a small stretch in the middle of the season. I just think you got Aaron Rodgers. You might as well use his talents. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL still, at processing, at getting you into the right play. He's not going to make bad decisions. So I just think you roll with Aaron and, you know, you like the old Bill Cowher saying, you know, you throw early to run late. Maybe they can develop an offense where they're really good at the 4-minute offense, closing out games. Maybe that's something that could be a part of this. But there was nothing that I saw in training camp, and certainly nothing that I saw against the Jets that tells me this offensive line can go out and impose its will on people and, you know, be a team that's going to be really strong at running the football.
When you talk about that 4-minute offense salting a game away, do you believe that's where a Caleb Johnson would factor in? Because, my goodness,
yeah.
It was Jaylen Warren, it was Kenneth Gainwell, and then it was one carry for Caleb Johnson for -2 yards.
Yeah, and I said that last week, but that was before Caleb Johnson put the ball on the ground.
Right.
Now, I know that happened on special teams. It's different from, you know, taking a handoff from a quarterback, but he still put the ball on the ground. So he'll have to get that cleaned up. Honestly, Adam, I don't know what his role is going to be early in the season. He might only play a couple of snaps a game. They're pretty intent on playing Gainwell. They really like him. And, of course, Jaylen Warren is RB1, and they're going to use him too. So I think Caleb Johnson is going to have to earn his snaps and earn his touches early before they really can trust him.
Ray, let's talk about the signing of Jabril Preppers. Obviously, Deshaun Elliott will be out a few weeks. Do you think that Jabril Preppers will make an immediate impact at strong safety?
I think Chuck Clark is still going to start, but, you know, obviously you need good depth. I was watching some clips yesterday, you know, even from his most recent stint with the Patriots. The guy can still come up and play the run. He can still tackle. He can still hit. You know, I don't think he was ever like a guy who was great in coverage. I think that's probably why he's bounced around a little bit. But, yeah, if you want to use him in run support, do that. But I think Chuck Clark is going to start, and then we'll see this week how Peppers is how his role unfolds here. But I thought Chuck Clark came in and played pretty well, so I wouldn't expect them to make a change anytime soon.
How about this breaking Jets news, guys? The Jets are expected to release wide receiver returner Xavier Gibson, the guy who fumbled the football on the Kenneth Gainwell special teams tackle on Sunday. I like what he's doing there, man. I mean, the Jets were game. Not that people maybe care about this, but the Jets were game, and Aaron Glenn's like, hey, man, you cost us the game. See ya. Talk about accountability. That's accountability. Ray, do you expect Harmon to be back at practice? Like, how do you think this is going to go? Because I didn't think he'd be ruled out on Tuesday. I thought he might be a leave the light on candidate.
Yeah, usually when you're ruled out early in the week, you're certainly not going to do anything Wednesday. You know, maybe they would try to get him out there and work on the side like Thursday or Friday. That's a possibility. But when you're rolled out this early in the week, it means the injury is still lingering a little bit. So I think the hope is that he comes back for next week's game against the Patriots. You know, we'll see if that happens. But obviously, he's a rookie first-round pick. You want to be careful. You want to make sure that is healed before he goes out there and maybe compromises it in a game.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ray, what's your feeling or sense around Joey Porter Jr.'s availability this week?
Yeah, I mean, he sort of said the whole, we'll see his practice participation, we'll see how that goes. So, you know, probably be limited today. They'll see how the hamstring reacts. I think if he's out there and he's full on Friday, there's a pretty good chance that he's going to start. It did sound like Nick Herbig is almost all the way back. So we'll see if Nick is full today. If he's full today, that means he's good to go. And I don't know, guys, that pass rush wasn't very good. I think they could use a guy like Nick Herbig in pass rushing situations. I think they were missing that element against the Jets.
Yeah, your evaluation of T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward's game one.
I thought T.J. was fine against the run. He was active.
They didn't run at him very much either,
right? No. But he crashed down hard and still made a couple of plays when it was to the opposite side. You know, I thought the rookie, the guy from Missouri, actually did a pretty good job on him in pass pro. So probably not TJ's best game as a rusher. Hayward just, he wasn't getting off blocks. His game is that bull rush game. He was getting a little bit of movement, but it didn't affect Justin Fields at all. And he wasn't getting off blocks in the run game either. And no one was. But, you know, Cam's going to talk to us, I guess, later in the week. The question is, like, how much time does he need to get back to where he was? He didn't practice a whole heck of a lot. I don't know if it was conditioning. I don't know what it was, but it didn't look like he was his normal self against the Jets.
Ray, I kind of wrestle with this, and, sometimes you get fooled by certain players, but do you think that Sam Darnold's a good player? Like, this week, if you were, say you were the defensive coordinator and you're Terrell Austin, like, would he worry you in this game on Sunday?
Well, it's funny. A couple of years ago, you know, Darnold was like in the middle of I think his final season with the Jets, and he actually played really well against the Steelers. So, that's what the Steelers always look at. Like, how does he compete? How does he play against your defense? I think Darnold is a good player. I think the Steelers certainly respect what he did in Minnesota last year. So that's, certainly was different from his Jets tenure. But, yeah, I think the guy's a good quarterback. His first game with the Seahawks wasn't great. They weren't great. But, I think by the end of the season, I think Sam Darnold will have that team, if not in contention. I think they'll at least be right around 500.
Ray, your colleague and our friend Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette asked Mike Tomlin about maybe considering moving Keanu Benton off the nose. And Tomlin seemed to want absolutely nothing to do with it. But I thought Keanu Benton, frankly, was dreadful on Sunday.
Yeah.
Did you see it the same way? And why would they not consider moving him?
Yeah, I mean, Dora might have some good perspective on this too. I don't know that Keanu Benton is a nose tackle. They've made him a nose tackle, and then you draft Y.A. Black, who is 6'6", 240, and you're playing him at 4-eye technique. And, like, I asked Tomlin about that yesterday. Tomlin explained it. He said, Black can play inside because he's so big, but they really like his length and his ability to hold up against guards and tackles as a 4-eye technique. So to me, that would be something I would explore if this continues with Benton, but we just haven't seen it. And the guy's a second round pick and he's getting pushed around in his third year. I mean, to me, that's not as much of a concern as Broderick Jones is, but it's starting to be the way that run defense has been getting shredded.
That's well said. And look, they've had success there. Stephon Tuitt was a second round pick. Javon Hargrave was a third round pick. And Keanu Benton in year three, it's only been one game of the third year, but he's a far cry from those guys. Ray, this was wonderful. It always is. I'm sure you felt comfortable and right at home with the Everybody Loves Raymond theme. So thank you for jumping on with us today, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Ray.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.